Good Friday afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Hemd and Dwight on Eagle FM. As always, we're here until the hour of six. Today's subject is about tourism, but before we get there, something to, you know, to remind ourselves, including, we are headed towards the end of we're basically at the end of the year and it's Friday. So it's not that time that you should be getting on the wrong side of the authorities. And also, if you are in Namibia, just a quick reminder, there is some ongoing tit for tat on whether or not magistrates are on strike or not. So combine those three. And, if you get on the wrong side of the authority, they will just toast you in there and wish you Merry Christmas and see you in probably March. So, please behave.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe even if it is March.
Maybe. And that's a man-sized maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, knowing our parliamentarians and how things are done here. So just, whatever you do, I don't care how fancy of rupees, just, breathe, relax.
No, the rain is here. It'll send all the Vandugars home. Don't worry.
Quickly.
Very fast.
Speaking of Rupa, please drive safe. Especially if you're a guy, drive safe. I know that statistically speaking, when it comes to car accidents, our gender is just dominating those statistics. So drive safe. Because if you die, we'll be here comforting your girlfriend with Netflix and chill. You're welcome. Yeah. Moving on. Tourism. Wait.
Almond.
You'll be looking down from heaven here. We're having fun, Baba.
I did not say that, ne?
With your picture on the wall, he was a very nice guy.
You know, I'm a very...
Meanwhile, homeboy is going for Operation Takeover.
I'm a very humane individual.
Oh, yeah, he is. I'm not.
I'll at least show up to the funeral.
Funeral?
Yeah.
No, we'll be there all the way from the time you kicked the bucket because you were driving like a maniac.
From the wake all the way to the funeral, to the burial.
The goal is to make sure you're really dead. So yeah. When you take over.
And then to have the funeral lunch afterwards.
Preparing a speech is no big deal thanks to ChatGPT today. So easy peasy.
We will even put the prompt at the bottom to tell people, sensitize them, you know, how we were. Planning to contribute at your funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very nice guy. He was my best friend, you know.
Please chat GPT. Make it sound like I'm very humane.
Yeah. Make it sound like, I'm having a terrible time here. Meanwhile, look, don't get me wrong. You will be contributing to Namibia's employment, but we don't want you to contribute to it like that, in a way that when you kick the bucket, someone will take over your position. But bottom line, guys, is drive safe.
Yeah.
Fasten a seatbelt, and those signs on the road that are giving you speed limits, follow them.
Please.
Don't drink and drive.
Please.
Otherwise, what I just sarcastically described will take place, sadly. Now.
At least the rain will tell the Vandugars not to drive. Because they forget to drive when it rains.
Have you met Namibians? They are driving.
No, Vandugars, we don't know rain. Mm-hmm. So everyone is there looking at each other. And everyone is driving 5. And they're looking at each other. Yes, I've got my lights on. Please, have your lights on.
Look, we know those ones, but there are those that have a little too much confidence in their cars.
Mm-mm.
And they're like,
they all forget, even the taxi drivers.
Uh-huh.
I know them. I've seen Vanduk drivers.
I know my car.
Yeah, I know. I know the fellow species in the city. We all know each other. They forget to drive.
I think my car can go through this current. No, it can't.
No, those are the other Vandugars. They go like, you know what? I've never seen a river. Maybe it'll be harmless.
Maybe
it is harmless. Maybe. Let's go and imagine my Suzuki Swift is a 2015 Land Rover Defender. Just to realize halfway through that endeavor, the car doesn't have any four-wheel drive, does not have any traction, wrong tires, wrong height, wrong diesel, wrong engine,
wrong size.
Power, wrong driver, wrong everything. Wrong weight even, because the car is too light.
Emphasis on the wrong driver.
No, wrong everything.
Is it just me or does that car look like it can fit in your pocket? I mean, I've seen several, but...
Yeah, it does, Helmut. It literally can. fit into a backpack. But obviously, yes, we hear about tourism. Besides, yeah, obviously, the discussion on transport.
Yeah.
And so, yes, guys, even though this particular tourism analysis is like, it ends technically at September 2025 because there's a focus on September 2025 versus September 2024 and September 2019 and 2019 versus 2024 and 2025 analysis. I know I said a mouthful.
Before we get to the analysis,
yeah,
let's just first acknowledge that we are very good at this tourism thing because in November, on the 2nd of November, we were awarded Africa's foremost adventure tourism destination at the 2025 Balearica Awards. Ask me what Balearica means. It took place in London. That one thing I know for sure.
But it has the word adventure in the front of it. So I'm trying to understand who's offering adventure experiences. I also want to be there.
I'm not talking
about the guys with the parachutes at the
country. No, anything that has to do with height, count me out.
Yeah, I've seen too many accident videos where I still remember the New Zealand couple from before COVID, the guy and his wife who went to Australia for skydiving. They call it skydiving.
Yeah.
And because they're so used to it, they've been trained that they can do it themselves. Just for their parachutes not to work, backup parachute not to work.
That's one.
Guy's Wi-Fi falls into a bush the size of that palm tree out there. You see that date palm tree there?
Yeah, and it's huge.
Falls into that. He falls into a tree and a bush and a shrub. So he technically deflects from the one to the other to the other. Both of them have multiple bones broken. Both of them survived because of the altitude at which they jumped from wasn't that high.
Okay.
But just to think that if it wasn't for those plants that broke their impact, they would have been like
a pancake. Okay.
Anyway, you're still going pancake size, but they would have been like, you know, in a different state.
Saint Peter, is this you?
They would have been in a different state. So luck was definitely on their side. The downside is just if we're talking about actual adventure tourism in Namibia, I'm really interested because I'd like to know, is it like cycling, you know, through Etosha, you know, hoping that the lions don't wake up?
No, cycling through Etosha? No. No.
Or doing your best, you know, to, you know.
It's like giving, you know, a bunch of chickens a tour through KFC. That's not safe.
Or doing adventure swimming while there are lions behind a bush somewhere. Or you decide to go set up a camp right next door to a Warthog VR16 twin turbo reverse parking specialist. And his or her particular little clan of piglets. 5G network connected, you know, piglets and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Or you decide to just go and mess with the wrong Dumbo on the wrong day. And that Dumbo, have you ever seen the video of the badger, the honey badger?
The honey badger. Trying to
attack the elephant. And the elephant just kicks the guy. It just keeps kicking the guy away.
You give up.
And that badger comes back. Do you know what the whole argument was about? About who has the first right to drink at the water hole. Do you know how big is the water hole, Almut? It's as big as this yard. And the badger decides to pick a fight from there with this elephant. This elephant is like, nope, not today, bruh. I'm not having your nonsense today.
The honey badger will pick a fight with anything around it.
I know. That badger was just told like multiple times, kick, and you see the guy fly, and then he goes, sit still, you know, obviously. Because now it's obviously a kick in the ribs, you know?
Yeah.
So he has to recapture his breath.
Yeah.
And then a homeboy charges again, gets kicked again.
An elephant.
So, yeah. So
finding out which type of adventure is offered is basically, I mean, it would be interesting, yeah.
It would be interesting, but
I think one of the reasons why I don't know is too broke, too stingy, too sleepy. One or more of those.
Who?
Me.
Okay.
Well, I don't know the different types of, you know, adventure activities.
You can literally just participate in some of the, but you're already part of the tourism scene as a stand-up comedian. Arts and culture falls into the tourism
scene. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. But it obviously...
Look, I also want to go gallivanting.
I know, but it obviously... But you're already in that particular space of the particular, you know, providing the service aspect, yeah, dimension. The nice thing would obviously to be would be that you the participation is regular so that Namibians also see this and they also participate in it.
Yeah, like the one that you did last time. Oh, yeah, last time you went in the field. Not the one you recently arrived yesterday.
Yeah.
The one where you went, like, is it zip lining across mineshaft?
Yeah.
Wait, was it across or downwards?
Across.
Oh.
I still have that video. It was scary as hell. I'll say it again. It was scary as hell. The girl before me.
Oh, it's for adrenaline junkies.
She did it. She did her video in the case of, you know, like, look at me, selfie wise. Look at me.
Yeah.
I did it so that you could see behind me the depth while I'm zipping across the gap. And the obvious thing was also now climbing down into the abandoned mine shafts.
Yeah.
Especially the part where we had to get to the bottom and you see how a ladder that's 100 years old.
And
we had to get down on that same ladder. And I asked the tour guide,
how safe is this thing?
How old is this material? Cause that wood looks pretty old. No.
It is made out of wood.
Yeah. One part of the ladder. One of the three ladders. So it's like this ladder lies like this against the shaft, the mine shaft.
Yeah.
Another ladder stands like this. On top
basically
of the
along the mine shaft.
Yeah. And then the last one is literally perched on top of the second ladder.
Going vertical.
Going vertical upwards, taking you out of the thing.
Yeah.
And then there's the one on the water side, on the inside of the shaft. Of the hole inside.
Of course there's water.
Yeah, because the guys dug too deep into the aquifer. And the aquifer started seeping through.
Oh.
So we were literally in the last shaft, the lowest most shaft, which is technically 200 meters above the bottom level, the where they actually reached the mines in 1950 something.
So you didn't go all the way to the bottom?
We couldn't go all the way to the bottom.
Because there is no ladder that leads there?
Because it's flooded.
It's flooded.
Yeah. And most of the photos that I took inside the mine, obviously low exposure, your camera, both the physical camera and your Samsung with its HD capabilities,
mm-hmm,
decided to just act up and take a whole bunch of blurry photos for no reason.
Because of the moisture?
No. Low light.
Low light, okay.
It struggles in, like, artificially generated low light scenarios.
Yeah.
So when I say artificially generated, let's say it's daytime outside, daytime light outside, but the moment you go into a place where it's like a cave, these particular technologies start struggling to take photos in such a scenario. Yeah. Unless someone has a light, or everyone has a light on them to create the artificial light. But when you're at night standing outside, mm-hmm, or when you're techno from Transion, you know, the technology, the AI knows that it has to deal with nighttime low light settings. Not with a cave during daytime and you're in the cave with a low light setting. Yeah. So, it was a little bit of an issue, a little bit of a challenge there to try and take photos. But if it's activities like that, I could understand that award.
Uh-huh.
I really could understand that award. And obviously, we also had an advertiser at one stage, in the e-paper and here on the radio, specifically about, you know, quad biking.
Yeah.
All those things. Obviously, they play a specific role.
I'm gonna go quad biking. Yeah. I'll do that.
They'll obviously play a specific role. But then our discussion today, dear listeners, is something based purely just on occupancy.
Yeah.
How many beds are occupied? Or how many rooms are occupied? Now, it's a safe thing to say here, guys, because Helmut and I, we scrutinize this data set, which I get for free, obviously. And we realized we don't know the size of the rooms. And we don't know how many potential beds are in each room.
Yeah.
So the assumption would be one bed, one room. Because the statistics also don't talk to each other like purely or like they correlate properly with each other. But they actually correlate in the sense of you can see occupancy and you can see a bed being sold. Now, obviously, you won't sell a bed in a room that is already occupied by another tourist. That'll obviously freak out any tourist, any day, anytime.
Actually, that would freak me out.
Yeah. Me as well. It would freak me out as well.
Wouldn't
wouldn't
that fall under what they call double booking?
True. And then that would very easily equate to theft.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember way back, this is like more than 10 years back, I'm still working in the advertising scene, and one of my colleagues had to deal with the officials of a specific cinema. I'm not mentioning names, just letting you know. But it was still run out of South Africa,
yeah,
the entity. And the discussion there was, you know, that the South Africans flew in, they fired all the Namibians, and they had to replace.
Restructuring.
Yeah, restructuring, but like brutal restructuring.
Yeah.
And then one of my colleagues went, you know, hoping that she could go and offer, get like a new advertising contract from the, from these new guys. And she sat there having discussions with the South African lady that flew in. And the discussion was once again, you know, how tickets get resold. And then you later on have people that literally argue with each other in the theater about the same seat.
Yeah.
Same seat.
Oh.
You're already sitting on the seat. You thought you already bought the seat,
yeah,
to view the movie at that particular time frame. And then they had issues where people were sitting on the stairs and stuff like that. And so I'm saying this like way back, like way, way back. So just to let you know, accounting practices obviously have advanced. So don't do anything stupid like that, guys. It is a very dumb thing. Anyone who is pretty good with their bookkeeping skills, basic bookkeeping knowledge, will know what is actually happening. Unless it's the owner of the business, and the owner of the business likes running a chicken coop like that, go ahead.
Yeah.
If you don't like chicken coops, you know, by all means, try to be honest-ish. So, I'll explain to you now a story, Hamoud, about why I understand occupancy and beds in the occupancy hospitality rate are a bit weird to sort of like to count. This particular workshop that I had to attend outside of Windhoek, which was obviously a workshop based upon the automotive sector, and Southern Africans from across the region were brought in from Zambia, from Botswana, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Lesotho, to obviously assist in policy development and see, you know, how could MSMEs participate in this particular discussion. So I'm not going to give away what the further gist of this particular workshop was. But when we landed that Monday, you know, I get a unit. I get told by the reception,
mm-hmm,
choose where you want to stay. Now, obviously, you're thinking, hey, this is a sponsor situation. And you can put your name on a number that looks very nice and, you know, accommodative. Anyone knows anything close to 30 and above 30 is just not, it's just not doable. Because if you remember how some resorts in Namibia are based, you have to walk quite a distance.
Yeah.
Just to get to the restaurant or just to get to the conference facilities. And so I take number 23, the chalet number 23 or bungalow 23, and the other guy from the statistics agency, he takes 25. We go, ish, and then we see the distance. Yo, it's a bit far.
From the reception to the...
to where we are.
Oh, to the accommodation areas.
Originally, I would have been at 41, number 41. Would have taken me on the other side of the lake, somewhere on the other side of the bush even. So I was like, okay, thank you. Some of the other Southern Africans that flew in,
yeah,
they were told you guys must bunk together in the 2-room setups and in the 4-room chalets and the stuff like that. So I understand it makes the correlation and it makes the reporting function specifically for these statistics a little bit different, because you have a lot of hospitality outlets, Helmut, that give you variations of service.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were doing a backpackers, ne? The backpacker that I saw in Cape Town in 2011 had dormitories. So this would be, I had to stay in the same room with two Filipino guys, or was it two Thai guys? Two Filipino guys and one Frenchman.
How big was that room?
Obviously, yeah, the size of our studio.
Okay.
because it was...
That's one heck of a house.
There were like these four beds. So, okay. But you had your own little... You just needed a bed to sleep, and that's the thing. And obviously there was like the not so public, but public-ish kind of, you know, ablution facilities. And you just deal with the, you know, with that situation as it is. And then the floor above it had literally single rooms. They call it single rooms. A single room being, it's just your bed, you in your private space, and you can lock the door, and then you can go and be the tourist that you want to be in the city of Cape Town. Now, when you see the hospitality sector giving variations of the same service across any sector, even like in Namibia, it makes things a little bit tricky to try and understand. Okay, we understand that for the month of September, we had like almost 100% occupancy, for example.
Yes, almost all the rooms were occupied.
Well, technically, that is what the stats say, that it was 100% occupancy. But when you also had to look at, which feeds into your adventure tourism introduction.
Yeah, awards,
92% of the visitors were for holiday, were for leisure. 6% were for business in Namibia. Let that sink in. 92% of the surveyed accommodation facilities, 92% of their visitors were leisure, were on holiday, were families.
Makes us one heck of a holiday destination.
Yes, it does, actually. It actually does. Another interesting thing also to see is that at least we were 4% for September higher than 2024. So for the same September, for the same month of September. Another interesting thing is also to understand, we are still trying to achieve pre-COVID rates, meaning we're still chasing the proverbial 2019 dragon. Okay, I'm sorry for using a heroin reference there, because that is technically what... heroin addicts go through. They are called, they can't actually get rid of the addiction because it's known as chasing the dragon, the particular reference that they make. But this is Namibia's own particular sort of like withdrawal syndrome we're trying to achieve, which is a positive. It's not a negative. It's a positive. But Namibia is, we will always benchmark ourselves against 2019 in air travel, in visitors here to Namibia, in the various kinds of activities that are meant to reflect the growth, the strength, and the everyday operations of the tourism sector. We will forever just compare ourselves to the peak we had in 2019.
So we want to reach that record and then, you know, just go
And then go past that.
So that's what we'll call, you know, 100% recovery from the pre-COVID days. But before continue, commercial break.
Sometimes you have to raise a Vinduk beer and say cheers to you, the real ones. You know, the ones who save you a spot for the game when the bar is crowded. The ones who offer to drive for the night to keep everyone safe. The ones who bring you a cold Vinduk beer are being asked. When they're there for you in ways you never knew you needed, they aren't just friends. They're the real ones. So cheers to them. Vinduk, 100% real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vinduk Original or Vinduk Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting. To moments shared and good vibes. Anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect. Easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito da njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. nune udo o tukwe tira o special ange tashia kengeje pa o marudi dayo loka o pone ujendi fenawa nukumuna o ijabo iri nawa ninge kwa dafano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kumderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
Welcome back. We continue. This is Homran with Helmed and Dwight on Eagle FM. So, occupancy.
So, occupancy rate is obviously a slightly not defective, but it's a deceptive statistic that actually, but it's actually a very good statistic that the hospitality industry is actually able to supply. For example, in our case, you know, where we analyze this particular trend, you know, I'm just too glad to see actually this kind of statistic, because it always does not account or match up to the home affairs immigration statistics.
In what way, like as to how many people are coming in?
Yeah. Because that number could be more, and then the people never go and stay in these accommodation facilities.
So there could be a large number of people that are coming into the country for tourism reasons, but they're not accounted for.
Yeah.
Because they don't use the hospitality facilities that would have made us sort of like, well, include them in the statistics that
100%. Which is also another particular telltale indicator, specifically that the statistics we're looking at comes from one specific ecosystem of the Namibian hospitality sector. What do I mean by that? The stats that we're sitting here comes from the FENATA collection of hospitality and tourism companies.
Mm-hmm.
They are somewhat part of the NTB ecosystem, but then it's like two separate databases operating from themselves. You would sometimes see their stats are like separate cut out of the overall Namibian stats. And, it gives you like this double picture. Or it's
then brings us back to the data interoperability?
It does bring us to a data interoperability, because let's say if there's a collection, there's an association of a sector. And they believe, let's say a ministry doesn't do its particular part in actually producing statistics of performance of that particular sector.
Yeah.
Then this association that operates in this industry, that this ministry tries to be the, let's say, the policy guidance on, then this association decides, hey, listen, if we are just dentists and private GPs, we will produce the stats on how many patients
that we
attending
see.
You know, and then we'll break those stats down per ailment, per consultation, per appointment scenario. And then you were hoping that Ministry of Health would produce all the stats, and Ministry of Health doesn't produce any of these stats. And then you've got to go fish, literally like go on an expedition, even worse than, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because if you guys know what the Lost Ark technically implies, it's in that storyline of Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark, was that Indiana Jones had to literally find the Lost Ark of, what's the biblical story behind the Lost Ark? It was the Lost Ark of Moses.
Ark of the Covenant?
Yeah, Ark of the Covenant, but it was the one that Moses had.
Yeah.
So Moses had the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant.
More like the children of Israel had it.
Wait. Don't make things political now, please.
It's
7,000 years later.
That's the biblical description of it.
Yeah, a lot of people wrote the Bible, Helmut, please. Let's not make things political here on the Home Run. Religiously political. Just wait on certain labels there.
When last did you sit in judgment? Because I went there last week and I kept, the political part of me kept popping up. I'm like, oh man, what are we talking about now?
Hey, just wait there. Just hold your lorry there. Just stop your lorry or your donkey cart there somewhere outside. We're still staying on Indiana Jones.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, the fictional part of the story that I'm talking about. So, if you literally have to go into this particular expedition there for finding something you don't even know what the thing potentially looks like, The downside is when the data interoperability, let's call it the mountain, shows up, you literally sometimes see how an important sector literally does not generate the necessary particular statistics on time, every time, for the industry and the economy to know actually how do we position ourselves. Because here's some of the interesting things there. And I know I'm going slightly off topic, but
I have a question based on based on your hospitality stats or NTB stats with the Minister of Home Affairs stats.
Yeah.
Especially the Immigration Directorate.
Yeah.
Then, because you have, this hospitality stats based on almost like a bed and room occupancy.
Mm.
How is this counting done? Does it include, camping sites? Because
I would assume so, because a lot of them are lodges and
they have campsites.
Lodges, let's say, but here's the thing: if it's a campsite, in many cases, that now you expect this tourist to land. By plane.
Yeah.
Because the markets that are cited here are, let me just read them, France, Italy, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland.
Yeah.
I didn't know we had Swiss flying all the way to us. Because the Swiss are pretty, the Swiss and the French, I know, are pretty, what do you call it? They're very, if they go and visit a tourist destination, it's usually their own country. They're not visitors that fly easily, especially to like Africa.
Outside of their country.
Yeah. Or if it's, and that has been the characteristic on the French tourists that have been explained.
Mm-hmm.
If they do fly even, they'll fly to the US or they'll fly to a tropical destination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is obviously besides the particular slump, the tourism slump that the United States has caused, created to itself, which has obviously seen a lot of these European tourists now being redirected to Africa, specifically Namibia as well in this particular case. But here's some of the interesting things. You asked a particular question on camping sites.
Yeah.
I know you saw the stats somewhat, but the interesting.
Yeah, I do have them here.
The interesting thing that you try to look at is they break up what the accommodation facility was. Bed and breakfast, backpacker, guest farm, guest house, hotel pension, a hotel over 30 and a hotel under 30, meaning over more than 30 rooms and under 30 rooms. A lodge, a rest camp, that's where your camping site
comes
is.
In, yeah.
Self-catering is also a campsite. A tented camp at the end and a tented lodge also at the end. Now there's one facility not here down with Nelson Mandela from us. I also will not mention names because that would mean I would be promoting them. But they try to also give you like a within the city kind of a camping experience. I never understood that. But you know what? It's their business model. It's not Dwight's business model. However, you now have to try and understand whether or not a lot of these particular similar facilities like that facility is offered across Namibia. Look, I'm not saying go and camp at the crocodile farm in Otjiwarongo. Helmut, you, I think, would have been the most knowledgeable individual there in such an endeavor that would have coached anyone about saying, hey, listen, the crocodiles are there, you are here.
Mm-hmm.
There's only this fence between them and you. Whatever you want to do, it should not be you and a tent between you. Between you,
yeah, just you and
that crocodile. Please. So when we look at things like that, discussions like that, it obviously still means that it seems that Namibia is ticking up in a particular dimension of tourism. Remember you mentioned adventure tourism.
Yeah.
We are ticking up in a specific dimension. Another setting is also a lot of the private sector guys. And there's that massive private sector guy. I'm also not going to mention their name. I mean, what they've got on offer there is mind-boggling.
In what way? In a negative or positive way?
Very positive.
Oh, okay, that's good. Whew.
Yes, some of the settings are probably super hot when you get there. You know, like the sun, the heat and the sun are literally boiling you. But then you go look at the experiences that the people get. Those experiences are, you've got Springbok walking between, you know, the accommodation facilities. They've, you know, that they have just everything. Everything is just in this lovely natural retreat situation. And how could you go wrong with such a particular combination? Yeah, the combination would look a little bit weird, would be presented a little bit wonky. But Helmut, every time I just see any particular visitor would just go like, wow, Springbok walking early in the morning past my bungalow.
That's one heck of a sight to behold.
Or walking past my tent while I'm camping.
Yeah, Springbok.
And the Springboks are just looking there at you going like, look at this guy. Probably doesn't understand. He's probably not tolerant enough to the heat in this country. Or look at this guy.
And yeah, now you're reminding me of one of Trevor Noah's set when he found himself when he found himself in Bali,
yeah,
and he was surrounded by by a bunch of Europeans.
Yeah.
And the natives, every time they ran into them, kept looking at everyone in a different way. But as soon as they they reach their sight on him, and they have this kind of wait, what are you doing here? Type of look. Like I mean, I can understand these ones, but you. No. Yeah, so I think one thing I saw at also one establishment in the Mahake region was that they had this very sort of like animal, human friendly type of animal.
Yeah.
The only one that I found in a fence, or I saw like mostly in a fence, or actually two. They had, because they have lions and a cheetah. Now they had more like a cheetah walking session, as a, which it's a package on its own that you have to pay for extra, and a lion feedings, and that's mostly done in the evening, and this is one of those places that as part of the entertainment, more like evening entertainment type of things.
Mm.
So they're also one of those packages that you basically pay for on top of the already that basically piles up into, not say pile up, adds up into your overall experience at the at this at these places. But here's the thing though. It's now you can just see that the tourism aspect, aka the touring part, is was not emphasized heavily in this in this report. Now at this, I don't even know why they're calling it a report, but call it reports, plural.
Yeah,
because this is a whole list of a whole list of documents, albeit of different years, 2019, 2024, 2025. Now. I like the fact that they, it's all focused on one thing, and that's the hospitality aspect. Mm. How many people were accommodated, and where, and what did they come for? Where did they come from? Like country-wise, yeah. Did they come for business? Did they come for for pleasure and all that? But before we continue, let's pay the bills with a commercial break.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. Heineken's iconic balanced taste that gives you that refreshing first only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
I know, it's a very catchy...
Hey man, we outperformed on that jingle, I'm telling you. We really outperformed on it.
Yeah. So, if you look at the third quarter of 2025,
yeah.
as it's pointed out by the Hospitality Association, the third quarter of 2025 reports that 2025 reflects a positive growth compared to last year and 2019.
Mm.
The room occupancy in the third quarter of 2025 ending with 2% higher. Then they give a bunch of numbers, but the part that I'm mostly interested in here is that based on the total of over 80 individual reports received for the September in the meantime, the adjusted average occupancy last month, stands at 66.57, which is 4% higher than last year and just 1% down. 1% below 2019.
Yeah.
Now takes you to the to countries that are visiting. More like that contributes significantly to these numbers. Namibia's strongest performing markets remains Central Europe, and then you have a list of countries like France, Italy, Germany, Austria, Switzerland. Austria, I remember this one from last year.
Mm.
Because every time I make fun of something, it gets stuck in my head. Now, a clear sign of the benefit of direct air link between the destination and key sources. Then they get into somewhat of the hurdles over why it's somewhat taking longer for us to go back to our pre-COVID tourism statistics in terms of occupancy.
Yeah.
Air travel
will always be the big issue. Look, Helmut, I know that many people still have nostalgia about Air Namibia and its particular ability to properly function.
As much as I would love to see that.
But anyone who is an observer of negative trends and things, specifically of what Air Namibia went through, and I'm talking about in terms of the demand factor, not their internal management.
There
you will forever just sit with gossip and with rumors and with unsubstantiated
claims
and discussions. I mean, a lot of that noise came out back in 2020 when I covered during COVID the start of the closure of Air Namibia. And I mean, the pilots association was unhappy. The cabin crew association, the pilots union was unhappy. The cabin crew union was unhappy. But nowhere did you actually hear the management come and actually say or apologize to the country what was the real thing on the ground. The ministers
were just acting like everything is fine.
Not everything is fine, but it's more like they were hoping, like that Namibian thing that we see sometimes in family politics. You hope the issue goes away.
Just disappear.
You just keep quiet. And then
Being attended to.
Yeah. And then the issue brews. Gets passed on to the next generation. And then the kids, a Gen Z kid, is asking the question of why are they struggling with certain particular psychological issues? Because the parents didn't know how to deal with issues, didn't know how to go and confront and actually approach and deal with things that were impacting them, but were just happy to transfer unresolved issues onto the other generations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's literally a scenario like that I observed that happened, unfortunately, with Air Namibia. And that I continuously heard from my interactions with the impacted people. There was obviously another union that was representative of the other functionaries of the company.
Yeah.
But you can obviously see, you can already count that at least 3 to 4 potential unions were unhappy with the management from this enterprise. Now, at the heart of this discussion, there was a conversation I had with a business supplier to this entity who cited
some of the most important things, obviously, was also the affiliate business, kind of business facilities like baggage handling, ground services, and all those particular things that obviously play a part. And obviously now, we are not getting actual industry statistics even out on terms of, you know, how our airports are functioning and providing that air connectivity function. So you need to understand how many flights with how many people from how many countries are flying to Namibia. Then you need the airports, meaning the airports company itself, to give you statistics in terms of saying what are the volumes of baggage, the volumes of goods, the volumes of people, the amount of the sizes of these airplanes, the kinds of technology associated, the incidents, for example, that immigration and customs have to deal with, the customs clearing in issues, for example, all those particular things. We need such statistics because when you take a sector, it needs its statistics. You take another sector, it needs its statistics. Now, remember, I wanted to factor into you why it's difficult to try and get industry statistics, for example, like in an NDB scenario.
Yeah.
Because NDB would only tell you in the annual report at the end of a year. But this association, which is a cluster of a specific part of the Namibian hospitality industry, which is a small part of the Namibian tourism sector, they have taken it upon themselves, obviously, to say, hey, listen, this is our statistics of our sector's performance, and this is what's happening. Now, when you see but a small part of a very big sector, now we need to understand, okay, how many volumes of people actually hire the, what's the thing's name? The rentals, the car rentals. How many cars are being rented every day at the airports?
So
we don't know how many people are driving around here that are not Namibian.
That are using car rentals.
That are using car rentals.
That's what pretty much, most if not all tourists use. Those ones that are flying in, especially those ones that are coming from.
And there are car rentals, ne? There are rental cars that can cross the border from South Africa to Namibia.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
If it's the same company, the tourist can drive from here to South Africa and leave the car in South Africa with its Namibian number plate.
Yeah.
And vice versa. If the tourist drives from South Africa to Namibia, they can leave the car here. So we've got scenarios like that as well.
That's an interesting convenience for the user.
Yeah.
Because then now I don't have to worry about driving back to South Africa where I rented the car. Mm. Then I can just leave it here, hop on a plane and go back home.
Mm. I mean, the ticket that you've got, so that the ticket reflects Namibia here, and then you fly back home. Now, ask yourself the particular question, Amon. Now you see the nuances and just literally how ugly that particular statistical discussion is. Because, lo and behold, from Ministry of Home Affairs' side of things, we were supposed to by now be getting like monthly immigration statistics on how many people are flying in, how many people are tourists, how many people are doing this? What is the value of that e-visa system that is now like a golden egg laying duck of one of its kind?
Uh-huh.
Because that ministry is now minting it. I mean, probably by now they should already be at the 200 million to 500 million mark by now. By these statistics of people flying in, they should at least be now at the 500 million mark by now. Remember, they were literally 100 million by June.
Yeah.
Starting in February, by June. They were at 18 million for 20 days between February and March.
That means?
On average, they're at least making 20 million a month. No, okay, the 500 million is a bit of an overstatement from my side, guys. I know. Sometimes I embellish things. Sometimes. I know. However, if it's a full month, it probably could be 30 million per month by now, which could have probably taken us past the 200 million mark. Already, one ministry on itself. This is just from people flying in. This is just people flying in, guys. Now, what happens, Abund, if Namibia decides one day to host an international sports event.
Which sounds a little bit like 26-ish. 2026.
What do you mean 2026? What is happening in 2026?
Okay, oh, wait, when is the AC? What's that?
Namibia is not going to the Rugby World Cup. We are miserably failing there in Dubai.
I know that part.
I'm so disappointed. We could have beaten Samoa. We could have beaten Belgium. We could have beaten Zimbabwe. But no, we love making things difficult.
Look, man, I respect those guys.
I don't.
Because if you can do 5-8, yeah, I mean 8-5.
No, some of
and
them
still do.
Some of our guys are pros. I mean, we've got Wanivi who plays in the, he's one of Namibia's like first, pro rugby players, and he plays in the French top league, in the top Katoa.
Now, where's the problem?
The problem is that the other 14 guys on the field with him are all 8-5ers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pen pushers and delivery drivers and all that other kind of stuff.
Which is why I say that respect.
Okay, guys. The other guy, Thorsten van Jaarsveld, is also a full. Him and Arno Skutsia, they're both also pros. They are pros in South Africa. Yeah, they're pros in South Africa. Oh, yeah, and the other guy that was our captain. Is it, what's his name? Daisel. He's a pro somewhere else. No. But, yeah. And Cliven Lopesher from the United States, who's in the United States, he's a pro in the US. But the downside once again is, you're right.
Majority of your club.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
I'm thinking including the coach.
No, the coach was a pro player.
Don't play with
Namibia. The coach and the director of rugby.
Mm-hmm.
They both were pro players. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, they're very good at what they do. But coming back to information, in a way that, information in a way that it's somewhat, there are a lot of pieces of this puzzle of information that's missing. That takes me back to one topic that I had, the one about, the whole SADC's adoption of AI.
Yeah.
Yeah, which went to spill into our AI readiness report, assessment report for about 2 or 3 months ago. One of the main fork in the road was, obviously several. You're talking the physical and the digital, infrastructure, but even if you had these two,
yeah.
You have a lot of, what you need is to have basically as much to reach as much people as possible, for you to gather as much information as possible, which you then process, which will give you the output of the numbers in terms of information that you needed that will be useful in applying it to anything that you want to implement or do.
Yeah,
but there's just one problem. The information is the information is in clumps, scattered across the board.
And,
now, if you have to gather,
and in many cases they're also not digitized.
Yeah, that's
in many
the part.
In many cases, they are not.
They
digitized.
Are not digitized.
The health minister, Luvin Dao, back in last month when I attended that particular, where I got that report that we dissected, the report on the GBV report.
Yeah.
Her speech there last month at that particular engagement was one based upon the efficiency of systems, specifically in public health.
Yeah.
Now, the efficiency in systems, her discussion was based upon bring in the e-governance factor of things. If the person is in pain, is almost half dead when they show up at the clinic, why are you telling the person wait for another 2 hours in the line? Just to be asking the person, because the last doctor that was there was on leave, because that doctor is taking annual leave because it's just too boring in the remote place that he or she was dropped off in.
Mm-hmm.
Now the next doctor has to start the process again of asking you, okay, what is your average height? When were you born? Where were you born? Who's your mother?
But you have visited
Who's
that facility like a million times. Exactly. They don't have a database.
Exactly. Now every time another doctor has to continuously generate.
Asking you the exact same thing. Been there.
And my house doctor. Mm-hmm. My house doctor is a private doctor. Mm-hmm. This is a guy I pay out of my pocket. When I show up there every time, he's got a computer in front of him. All he does is he just brings up a profile of me. And he goes like, Dwight, So, how you doing? I'm
last time you were here, you had this and this problem. Is it the same problem?
And he's got a track record of what my health has been like.
I know, but look, I find that a little scary because I show up at my doctor and, I want to explain myself. Like, oh, now, last time you were here, you were here for this and this and this and this problem. So, you still having any of these problems before proceeding? Like, okay. That's way too much information, man. But anyway, it's something new. Something new. Then you basically go ahead and, if it's the same pain that were treated for last time, if that's still persisting, then you can just maybe change a prescription or mode of basically, trying to solve the problem. But if it's a new one, then you basically, that's when you go back to trying to find out what is causing it.
Yeah.
But if you now have a problem, a place where, or more, if you're dealing with a system where you don't have your previous information stored already, you'll have to start explaining the same thing over and over because every time you come in, it's a different person. But where you have a database, it doesn't matter who you find there. The information is already there.
Yeah.
All they just have to do is access your information. With the info, with the name and everything that's given to them, which you can provide, or the nurse that's in attendance, and then they can find all your previous information, so they know that we don't have to keep going back to day one,
and treating you like a day one client or day one customer or day one patient. And you know what's the nice thing, Ahmed? You already just said it there by just explaining the example, is that it cuts down the time from understanding who you are to diagnosing you very quickly.
Yeah, like streamlining your individual issues.
Exactly. Now, imagine that particular discussion in regard or in respect of the tourism sector. In the tourism sector's discussion, which has been the biggest headache, because we've got to know specifically from the Home Affairs Immigration Directorate about how many people are flying in, how many people are flying out. Now, here's a funny thing there. The hospitality guys have to show you what the nationalities of people are for September 2025.
Yeah.
Our highest, the largest amount of people that visited the facilities across Namibia was the Germany, Switzerland, Austria cluster of countries of visitors.
Mm-hmm.
They were at 31,787. The Namibians totaled 12,985 who visited the same facilities. So the Namibians were standing at the percentage breakup or breakdown is literally that the Namibians visiting the local hospitality establishments on this data set that we've got here tell it at 16.7%. The cluster of visitors from Germany, Switzerland, and Austria together were at 40% alone. So it puts that cluster of nationals.
Make it 41%.
Yeah, 41 basically, because it's 40.89.
Yeah.
0.89. They were literally number one. Then come the Namibians. Then you've got to put all the other smaller details together. For example, the cluster of Belgium, Luxembourg, and Liechtenstein. No? Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg, the Benelux guys, they're the next biggest at 7.32%.
Yeah.
Then you get the French at 5.6%, Italians visiting us at 3.9%, almost 4%, the UK and Ireland at 5.4%, Australia and New Zealand, I didn't know we had Australians and New Zealanders visiting us at 2%. The contingent of Chinese visitors we got was at 1% for the month of September.
Yeah.
But visiting these business outlets. So we don't know how many Chinese visitors landed at the airport. We just know that this is 812 Chinese visitors that stayed
used the hospitality facilities.
Yeah. In an accommodation setting, visiting Namibia. So it's obviously shows you the skewed reflection of just one specific nationality that potentially could have had more visitors coming through than what is actually accounted for here. We had Middle Eastern visitors, 200 of them. America and Canada, at 3,000. They were at almost 4% as well. Spain and Portugal at 1,500 visitors, 2% as well. Scandinavia, way higher than the, no, they're way lower than the Chinese visitors, at 247 that only visited in this particular period.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltics, if anyone knows where the Baltics are, isn't it the Balkans? Baltics?
Two different regions.
The Balkans are at the bottom.
Baltics and the Balkans.
Yeah, the Balkans are the guys here next to Greece. The Balkan countries. The Baltics are the guys that are
Estonia. Also, the side of Croatia.
Yeah, the Balkans are here at where Croatia is, right next to Italy.
Yeah.
They're between Italy and Greece. The Baltics are, is this now Estonia, Latvia, those, that other
the
weird.
The side of Lithuania.
Yeah, that weird neighborhood of guys there. The
eastern. Yeah, I think that would be Eastern.
The guys who were trying their best to deny their Russian heritage, but they're doing that weird thing there. The Baltics, we had like 59 visitors from them.
Yeah.
But I can tell you one thing that's weird, Helmut, because on this list is a weird thing I have not seen reflected. It's not reflected on this list because I'm hearing from people who live in Swakopmund about this phenomenon. There's apparently a lot of Russians in Swakop. And there are no Russians on this list.
That is true.
Anyone who lives in at Swakop or at Valfus or at Hedis Bay will obviously tell you, and you will very clearly and very obviously see this particular phenomenon, is that we're getting, it seems, a lot of Russian visitors. Now, I've been saying this since 2023, ever since Namibia and Russia signed that MOU whereby we now have visa on arrival. You just have your, you just get your passport, get your ticket, you fly to Moscow as a Namibian, a Moscovite or a St. Petersburg native or any other Russian in Russia can fly directly to Namibia. They just need a ticket and their passport.
Visa on arrival.
A visa on arrival and there you go. You don't need to even go through the e-visa discussion. So, ever since Namibia and Russia signed that particular agreement in 2023, or is it 2022, one of the 2 years, this has just sort of like made Namibia another hotspot for another European-ish. Yeah, let me put ISH there at the end. Because there's a huge discussion. I had that discussion on my Sunday morning take as well. You know, what is the whole discussion of this anti-Russian sentiment that you find in Europe? And in North America.
Yeah.
And it's literally because, for some reason, the European guys want to somehow convert the Russians to think like them. And the Russians are like, nah, you know what? Nah.
I think that's one of the biggest problems with geopolitics. Now, imagine if I stormed in your house and start telling you to treat your wife, kids, and everyone around you the same way that I treat my wife and kids. You just have to copy the template I'm giving you. Don't come up with yours. I mean,
And you're not explaining why I must do this?
No, just do it I'm explaining. I'm telling you that your method is wrong. I'm not explaining why. I'm just telling you that it's wrong.
It's wrong.
Yeah, mine is right.
Yeah.
This is where you have this whole democracy discussion now. My definition of democracy is better than yours.
Mm.
I'm not explaining to you why, but I want you to adopt it, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
So you have all this political tension of that a lot of people, especially civilians, basically are caught in between. And now they have to sort of like line up, basically pick a side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, and this is where you now see a lot of confusion going on. Yeah. And now you just can't help but go, okay, seriously. Even if I was to pick a side, can you now explain to me which side I have to pick? Because both sides are not helping their cases. The one who is pro that, I will explain to you everything that's good about my way of raising a family.
Yeah.
I'll be explaining it in a way that everything about my method is positive. There are no negatives.
Yeah.
Now, it's just the cupcakes and rainbows.
Yeah.
Yours, on the other hand, everything about your method is completely rubbish. Just get rid of
trash.
It and adopt mine.
It's just bad. Don't even ask questions.
Don't ask questions. Just throw it away. Yeah. So now you have, and by the way, may I remind you, all this is being done by adults. Not kindergarten kids. Nope.
Yeah.
Fully grown adults. Educated, by the way.
I think the way that we're making it sounds like it's a bunch of kindergarten toddlers that are trying to bully each other.
No, that's actually offensive. We apologize on, you know, to all kindergarten kids out there. But look.
Hey, kindergarten kids are evil. Okay, I almost said evil, and then I remember there might be some parents out there who are like, my kid is not evil. You don't know what your kid gets up to at school, bruh.
I would go with savage.
Yeah, savage. Yeah. Or brutal evil.
They are brutal.
Yeah. Guys, go and ask the teachers what your kid gets up to at school. You'll find out your kid is the one throwing sand in the other kids' hair. Or, you know, just decides to poke an eye here and poke an eye there.
I think it's just a kid thing. Kids are just naturally, brutally honest. They are not going to, because they don't know this whole social construction of use this language to describe this.
Exactly.
They'll just go straight to the point.
Yeah. You look like a toad.
Yeah. Just straight like that. And with a straight face. That's my favorite part. And now as a parent, you have to, you know, come up with a defense mechanism to do damage control.
As a parent, you're out there trying to mend a
diplomatic relations.
not diplomatic, a psychological state that was impacted and fractured at the school, which you didn't even go
and play with kids.
Yeah. But anyway,
yeah.
Look at me. I'm not even a parent. But I know what kids get up to, guys.
Oh, no. Everyone knows how brutally honest kids are.
But anyway.
We have a large number. I think it's safe to say we could possibly be having an increase in the number of tourists and of tourists that are coming to Namibia from countries like Russia that we are not including in the statistics.
Which could be more.
That's
which could actually inflate these statistics a lot more.
That's somewhat odd, but because you can't tell me they are all flying here and they have their accommodation set up that they are not using these facilities for us to count them.
I mean, Hamoud, if I saw that weird anomaly last year, you know, when we got invited, us, that group of Namibian journalists, to Russia to go and look at the Atom Expo and see what you know. What's the technological advancements that they're talking about at that level for nuclear energy?
Nuclear energy.
When you get there, Helmut, on the flight from Addis to Moscow, we were the only Africans. Us, the other African journalists. So we were technically like 15 people on a 200-seat airplane. Everyone else is Russian. Oh, and sprinkling a little bit of the Wagner guys in there.
Oh, so
there was a Wagner guy next to me. He didn't want to drink anything else. He just wanted water. Now I looked at his feet. You can always identify them
because of the shoes. Ain't no way this guy's good.
That guy just didn't want to eat anything on that flight. He just wanted water. And the guy from New Era that was sitting on the other side, because we were sitting in the same row. I was sitting my seat was literally the passage seat. The corridor seat, and then the Russian guy was sitting between us, and then the guy from New Era was sitting on the other end at the window. He was sitting there, you know, sleeping away. And then this guy doesn't want to, you know, when the air hostess shows up and she says, like, what do you want? Do you want chicken or beef, or those weird things that they ask you?
Yeah.
Usually I'm, you know, as an African, you just say yes to everything because it's food. You just want
to
eat.
Someone said yes to, I'm satisfied. They thought it was the type of food.
I heard there was a video I saw once that happened in one of the other SADC countries where a guy was asked, you know, what is a natural disaster? Yes, it is, we've got cans here, we've got coke there, we've got beans here, we've got mushrooms over there, and we also have like beans and tomato sauce over here.
I wouldn't put beans past natural disaster, but that's... okay, you know...
Yeah, but hey man, yeah. Look, these things happen. these things happen. So when we look at these particular talking points, dear listeners, you can clearly see this in some way. This is just a small piece of a very big pie. That's not properly being counted or being calculated or being presented. This pie also probably, this piece to the same large pie probably also has many other details to clearly understand how many people are actually coming in. Why do I say this? We have to understand literally the particular service provision that can be offered. Why do I say service provision? Well, service provision, Helmut, did you know, can also lead to the affordability of some grocery items. There are so many tourists that show up at these very large retailers, specifically in Windhoek. Mm. They show up, they've got money, they know that they've got an immense advantage over a Namibian household in purchasing power.
Yeah.
They have converted their monies or their cards are recognized here in Namibia. They show up, they go swipe. Obviously, the buyers who buy these goods to stock on the shelves in the shops then recognize, oh, the beer is moving this fast, or the Coke is moving that fast,
yeah,
or these particular packaged goods or these particular canned goods are moving so fast. Look at the quantities that are being bought and purchased. And then look at the requests to refill the shelves
being made
from the retailer that are being made. And they go like, okay, it looks like Christmas for us. Then when you go to the shop next time and you go find out about your favorite cooking oil brand, you are now being surprised with a $20 increase. You didn't know specifically that it's because of a tourist landing there. A tourist who wants to go bake and make their favorite foods out in the bush at the various campsites that they visit across Namibia, that tourist decided to buy 5 2-liters of cooking oil.
Mm.
But multiply that tourist now by 10.
By 10 tourists.
Yeah. 10 tourists who decided to buy 50 liters of cooking oil. Now that makes things just weird. And it makes the statistics also a little bit warped. Because it then looks like consumption is top notch.
That's that would be this. Okay, now let's take a live read, and then how do I put this? We'll make that the second last interesting thing about these numbers.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, we talk about the backpackers,
which is also the camping guys. I see that they are separate from self-catering, tented camp, rest camp. No, they're literally separate, Helmut. They're there.
I'm talking about the bottom table. The bottom table about backpackers and just how they don't have any.
Oh, yeah.
There are no numbers. That basically indicates that we don't practice this, do we?
We had a backpacking facility or backpackers or bed and breakfast that had backpacking facilities, but they had to change or they had to close down or they shifted.
Because they, you know, Namibians or the tourists that are coming in don't do backpacking activities more often?
I'd actually say the tourists are looking for backpackers.
Exactly.
There are tourists looking for backpackers. But yeah, we'll quickly take the live read and we come back right after the break, dear listeners. Velvita University for the 2026 applications that are now open for the following new programs on offer. Faculty of Health Sciences for the Master of Public Health, Level 9. The mode of delivery will be distance. Areas of specialization that will be included: maternal child health, public health nutrition, mental health and well-being, food safety management systems, sustainable solid waste management, innovative approaches in pharmaceutical public health, drug regulations, child protection and adolescent health, violence prevention and intervention. Application fee is $230 Namibian. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, please call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvica University, where everyone is an achiever.
Tune Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. So, you can wrap that up before we switch over to back in discussion and wrap everything up in 8 minutes.
No, you can move over to the backpacking.
The backpacking. Now, backpacking is one of those outdoors activity that is somewhat like a day hiking, but the difference is for backpacking you have to carry enough essentials.
Backpacking is, it's like bed and breakfast, but it's literally like...
Not like backpacking, like going with your gears outdoors, you know, for a day or two.
That is what it means.
Yeah.
But we're talking about accommodation.
Accommodation-wise.
This is the kind of tourist you're attracting. So where a bed and breakfast and a guest farm, or let's say bed and breakfast and a guest house, attracts families, family tourists.
Yeah.
Meaning this is more than two people.
Yeah.
A backpacker is meant for the single tourist or the two-person tourist. And they're usually young, they don't have as much money, and they don't hire a rental car.
Yeah.
They are more for like urban settings, you know, they come to an urban scenario. They only stay in cities and scenarios like that.
Okay, now just a pause for a moment. They say, last time we talked about these stats, you did mention about, this type of accommodation.
Differences.
Know, differences where people in other countries, where it's considered safe to give someone your couch to spend a night on.
Couch surfing, as they would call it.
A couch what now?
Surfing.
We'll come up with a very fancy way to describe, you know, homelessness. But look, the thing is...
No, but it's worse than Airbnb, couch surfing.
It's worse?
Yeah. Why do I say it's worse? Because the NDB wants to combat Airbnbs. But an Airbnb is a property owner.
Yeah.
Who rents out a room.
Those are the things that we also talked about, that they are difficult to basically...
To measure. Clamp down on, It's a room. It's a flat. It's a literal house property slash situation. That the owner of the property, who wants to make quicker cash than having a tenant that's there for, let's say, 10 years or 5 years just renting, this is a quicker cash generating scenario for this owner, this property owner, to list it on Airbnb, and then in that vicinity where it finds itself, let's say it's Windhoek now, then people fly in, they see, oh, Dwight has got a lovely little flat there in the center of town, it's not in a backpacking situation, there's everything is catered for, it's fully furnished, this is the price per day, not price per month, price per day, it's so many units or beds, I'll go for it, 100%.
Okay, so when it comes to backpacking, there are two different types. There's one that's accommodation, to, you know, accommodation oriented, and there's one that's tourist activity oriented, as in you're hiking for.
True, but you're going on. But you're going on the dictionary explanation of a backpacker.
Yeah, the tourism. The reason why I brought that up is I'm not trying to figure out if you are going with the dictionary definition, it's safe to say the tourists have, I think it's safe to say they're already doing this.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, that brings me back to the zeros.
Yeah. So the zeros,
there's no records about it.
So for our listeners, just to understand what Helmut is asking, guys, on this data set that we've got here in front of us, there's technically a column that illustrates the accommodation facility type known as a backpacker. Now, a backpacker, there was one in Windhoek West. Many people who are native to Windhoek West would know of it or knew of it and probably would still have some nostalgia towards it in terms of its closing down.
Yeah.
It was literally there close to the NUST main campus vicinity in Windhoek West. That was a quintessential backpacker. There's supposedly another one here close to the DHPS, school.
It started off as a backpacker, but it's now like literally a fully fledged, like guest house, bed and breakfast scenario.
Here they upgraded.
Yeah, they upgraded themselves to that level. So the most prominent version of this accommodation type hamel that you will find today in Windhoek or in across Namibia will be a guest house, a pension, or a bed and breakfast. You will, these are the three most common small business, you can call them MSMEs or micro, or small enterprise illustrations in the accommodation sector of hospitality that you will find today.
Okay, I know a guest house, a B&B. What's a pension?
It's similar to the two of them. They call it a pension. Not to say this is where you go collect your old age pension.
See, that was my initial thought.
No, it's a pension. They call it a pension.
There's one in Comastal. I thought they just, you know.
They were dispensing money.
30 for, you know, for pensioners. Discount. Yeah.
Yeah. So, just so the people know, this is the three most common accommodation facilities you'll see as the smallest business types.
Yeah.
So, what is supposed to sort of like round out this offering is the backpacker. The backpacker, Helmut, is, like I explained a little bit earlier, it gives you a dormitory where you have, it's male and female, obviously. So you'll have a whole bunch of guys that don't know each other. They will sleep in the same dormitory.
A hostel, but for...
Yeah, but don't think of like guests. Don't think of like in a hostel scenario. The Europeans have that at that additional business enterprise. So that we don't confuse our discussion of yesterday into today.
Yeah.
Remember where I asked you, what is a community hostel? Because the report kept referencing towards community hostel. But when you fly to Italy, you will find a youth hostel for backpackers, for travelers. Why? Because they realize it's a lot quicker to convert certain kinds of old-ish buildings into these now sort of like intermediate accommodation facilities for the single traveler.
So budget-friendly type.
Yeah, for the single traveler who would love to stay in a city or in a town, specifically, let's say, in Italy or in southern Italy or somewhere in northern Italy.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more cost-effective than building a whole new structure to serve that purpose. So you just renovate what is there. The person who has this business idea or the local authority has this idea, they convert this business, this particular building into that particular use. You go there, you pay a price. It's just, you have no privacy, Helmut. It's like imagining yourself in like in a school hostel situation. It's you and the rest of the boys in that dorm.
At my age, no.
So, and the ablution facility is also similar. It's, you know, that open area, like, shower situation.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first, only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoewe ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili neho. Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoewe ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitiramo Eagle FM otuna ebito danju.
Heineken's iconic balanced taste. That gives you that refreshing first, only made possible by Heineken's 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
When life gifts you an unexpected breakdown, take control with Express Credit. Borrow $3,000 to $32,000. Same day loan approval. Call 081-9500-500 for more information.
You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4.30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Welcome back. So let's wrap it up with backpacking.
Yeah. So what we saw here on this statistical list, dear listeners, is that literally there is, for any of you who are trying to venture into the tourism sector, there's a specific massive gap just sitting there. And it's that it seems that we have no backpackers. So if you find yourself in the most popular tourist zones of Namibia, which is Windhoek and the coast, the sky's the limit for you. This is free pro-business business idea that we're giving away. The sky is
a bunch of zeros in the statistics.
Literally a bunch of zeros.
Like on all the on all the tables from 2019, 2024.
So, just so that you know, guys, there's literally a massive opportunity. There's a whole gaping gap. And remember, if you think you're the only one that can capture this, you'll be sorely mistaken, because the downside is literally you need a whole bunch of similar service providing guys to participate, to literally meet demand. So don't think that you are the only fuel station there on the side of the road. You are now capturing all demand. Yeah. You technically need a guy on the other side of the road that feeds traffic flowing the opposite direction.
So that means what you're only offering is accommodations.
You will just be offering accommodation, basic ablution facilities.
Yeah.
You'll potentially have a bar. You'll potentially have like a braai area. And you do your thing to sort of like round out what you can offer.
Yeah.
The thing is that you provide a additional offering to a tourist that is literally falling through the cracks.
Okay, now there's one thing I know is that there has been, I think, for the past couple of years in Namibia, there has been an influx of guest houses. But here's the thing: which one would be more budget friendly between a backpacking facility and a place like a B&B, for example?
A backpacker.
So that one would be your most budget friendly of them all.
There are three types of tourists Namibia is
like getting. On a camping level.
Yeah, but that's if they know camping. A backpacker.
No, I'm talking about affordability component, like camping, for example. Because one thing I know is that camping are more often chosen because of their affordability component.
Yeah.
In comparison to your standard accommodations.
Yeah, but a backpacker can serve anyone. So what do I mean? So a backpacker can be, for example, like a guy that who doesn't want to go live in a $1,000 per night hotel facility here in Windhoek. But his flight is 2 days from now. He came for a business function. He realizes there's these two extra days, but he doesn't want to go stay for $1,000 a night. Yeah. He just wants to be at a place where he technically can walk from there to the center of town and walk back.
That's it.
They want that specific safety component. Then you will have the other kinds of tourists who realize that they fly here, then they've got to organize something from a safe space. Sometimes the B&Bs can offer it, or sometimes the guest houses can offer it, but a backpacker also allows for this particular unique flexibility, accommodation scenario. Helmut, the backpacker I lived in there, in the middle of Cape Town, in Long Street. That's one of the main streets of Cape Town.
Mm.
The street's name is Long because it's one long street. Its name is Long Street.
They didn't waste time on that one, did they?
If you want to deal with the other Dutch named ones like Kaisersgerichtstraße, and I'm like, where did you guys get this German name for a place that was a Dutch colony? But anyway, that's me digressing. There in Long Street were literally like four backpackers across each other.
Yeah.
If the one is full, they refer you to the other one. The one that I stayed in was owned by a Namibian. And he owned the sister backpacker right across the street. His business name was Blue Mountain Backpackers. I don't know if he's still there. And it was literally in one of those Victorian buildings. You walk in at the bottom and you go up and then you've got a third floor at the top. So, the nice thing was obviously what they offered, you're pretty central. The train station is just down the street, for you to take wherever you want to go through Cape Town, stuff like that. Namibia has the potential to meet the same particular need. So too does Swakop, so too does Swalfus. even though I'm not a big fan of Valfus. I'm sorry for any Valfus listeners, but I mean, when you guys are busy there with the fish factory, ne? Only you guys can explain to yourselves and to St. Peter in heaven.
Let me defend them on that fish part. The guys that caused the fish chaos came from Windhoek. Go on.
No, one of them was actually a unionist representing the same industry. Remember he was the guy asking for the SIM card?
Yeah.
The iPhone that can take two SIM cards, comma?
Yeah.
Until today, iPhone still has to prove that technological advancement itself.
Funny things you ask for when you have money. But anyway.
When you already have money.
Yeah, and you're asking for more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, when you look at that opportunity that exists there, Hamoud, backpackers is the one thing we're not capitalizing on in Namibia. I don't know how Okahania, Ochivorongo, Tsumep probably can fit into this particular thing for backpacking.
Yeah.
Maybe Rundu, maybe.
Maybe.
Because Rundu gets a lot of clients from, gets a lot of visitors from Angola.
Yeah.
Maybe Rundu, because I suspect Rundu also needs to pick up their particular game because all they've got is that massive hotel that's literally on the riverbank, and all the other lodges around it. Now, if I'm coming from Angola and I'm walking across that bridge into Namibia, I'm not coming there to go walk another 20 Ks outside of Rundu to go live in a lodge. Noch nooit. Never. It's madness. So Rundu also has to stay up with this particular game, because there is a lot of Namibians that are, there are a lot of tourists that are driving literally to the Babwata, to the Zambezi neighborhood of things,
yeah.
Specifically because of their own specific national parks that they've got there.
Yeah.
And because that, there's a whole bunch of national parks around Rundu as well in Kavango East.
Yeah.
And then you've got Kavango West as well. And we know there's a whole bunch of tourists that sometimes, you know, go like, you know what? Let's go see why Google Maps does not go that way. And then they will literally drive that way just for the sake of being adventurous. And they realize it's like a 500 kilometer trip for no reason, probably ending up in Gurunguru. And then they've got to ask the directions from there coming back to Windhoek. So guys, there's a massive gaping opportunity right there. Backpacking or putting up a backpackers. Just don't try and ask a 5-star hotel's prices, please, guys.
Yeah, don't. I'm with you on that one. Don't. And
you can employ people. You can help with a specific service provision, but don't try and ask for a 5-star hotel prices, please.
Unless you are loaded.
Huh?
Unless you are loaded.
Who's loaded?
The guys that sold our fish. Keep up, dude. But, now it's, those ones are already in sponsored accommodations now, so.
No!
We really have to go before.
That is state sponsored. That is state sponsored accommodation.
Before I say something stupid.
Those guys are state.
Proudly sponsored by GRN.
They are on a welfare program. It's a welfare program, Albert.
You know, they could be listening, right?
I know they are. Hey, so, but we're just identifying the facts. But anyway, yeah.
So, we're very good at stealing 10 minutes of David, but, until Sunday for me, actually for both of us, you'll have a blessed evening and please, please, please drive safe. Don't drink and drive while just, don't do anything to find yourself on the wrong side of the authorities because, well, December is around the corner. We are in weekend, and the magistrates, they still, that's my favorite part, still a debate on whether or not they're on a strike. Legally.
That's still one of the weirdest.
I know. Believe me.
Explanations I've ever heard in my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I'm angry, but I'm really annoyed.
You are on a strike.
You can see it on my face.
You are on a strike. Stop it. No, I'm not on a strike. I'm just working 8 to 5.
While I am voicing my concerns.
Yes.
On the pavement outside.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, you'll have a good Friday. Just, what's, Michael's, favorite, farewell words? Don't do something I wouldn't do, but if you do, name it after me.
I do hope it's a human-based scenario.
Not
a criminal.
Absolutely not.
I don't want to be named after. I don't want to be. On that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Let's see each other again on Sunday early morning. On my side, obviously, Helmut will be later in the morning on Sunday.
Yeah.
So enjoy, stay tuned, and listen, and stay tuned for the rest of your programming on Eagle FM.